أما بعد، my respected elders and all the listeners of Radio Islam International, today I wish to discuss an article which I read very recently, in fact last 2-3 days, and it is international news, it is news around the world, and that is the story of the founder of Facebook called Mark Zuckerberg. His name is flashing in the news because he has made an announcement to donate 99% of his wealth to charity. His daughter was born, so as a token of appreciation or a gesture of goodwill on the birth of his daughter, he has announced to the world that now he is giving his wealth, total wealth, 99% of it to charity, and the value or the worth of that altogether is about $45 billion. $45 billion. Right, in terms of rands, I don't know, with the exchange rate going up and down like a yo-yo, you can't say exactly where it is now, but you can just, and it is going to be worth many, many billion, running into hundreds of billions of rands. Now this is one individual, he's only 31 years of age, but he has taken this decision and it is splashed around the world. That young billionaire has distributed 99% of his wealth to charity. And he claims, or his statement is that he has done this to make the place a better world for his newborn. Well, whatever it may be, the point that we want to make out of this whole story is there is some kind of important lessons that we have to take out of the events of the world around us. If it is just for the sake of news, then there is no benefit. But if we take some lesson out of it, then this is something that we should take into consideration. That here is a person, he doesn't have iman. In the hereafter and life after death, in the way that Muslims believe. And he's the typical person that we find around the world, somebody who aspires to acquire a lot of wealth, but despite all these factors, he has taken a step, he has this move, this intention of his, and it should give us Muslims food for thought and food for reflection, that if this is what a person with no iman, a person with no motivation of reward in the hereafter, if he can open his heart and make a gesture of this nature that has left everybody around the world gasped, amazement, then those who are the readers of the Kalima and those who are Muslim and who have belief in the life of hereafter, then to what extent should be our big-heartedness, our generosity, our open-heartedness, our willingness to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sadly, it seems that despite all these factors that should be there to motivate, that the extent of charity and generosity in our community is very less. And here we find that this is not one isolated example, but there are other billionaires and so on in the Western world who have donated big, big chunks of their fortunes to charity. Yet in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, which was the golden era of Islam, we find the ulama have written that there wasn't a single Sahabi and companion of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who didn't make an endowment, he did not make a waqf of substantial amount of his property, which was then donated to various avenues of charity. This was the legacy of the Muslim Ummah. This is our history, our rich history from which we come. But unfortunately, as time has materialism has set in, and greed and love for wealth and material possessions and selfishness has set in, we find that this institution has become lesser and lesser and lesser, to the extent that today we hardly find any Muslim even making an intention of a waqf or a charitable endowment. It's almost unheard of in our recent times. Came to this country, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them and fill their qabrs with noor. They may have not had a lot of knowledge, they may have not had a lot of wealth, but one thing they had, Allah gave them hearts. You look at the names even today, M.L. Sultan, for example, one name that comes to my mind, R.K. Khan, these were people, and many others. They came, not much knowledge, not much wealth, like compared to today, art. They were big-hearted people. Today, their legacies are living. Their names are alive. We find that it is through their endowments that many of our masjids today are running. The Juma Masjid Trust, West Street Masjid, so many other masajid around the city of Durban alone, leave alone the entire country. These are all the contributions of the people of the past. Today, how many instances have we heard of any person who made anything waqf? I have not heard in the recent past anybody who made a substantial amount of wealth or a property waqf. And here, look at the other example now of the non-Muslim. Bill Gates is another example, which I don't want to just give the example of these people, but it is just because it's in the news, so I've spoken about it. But the idea is not just to speak about it, hear about it and walk away. It is for us to translate that into some kind of action. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, every one of them made a waqf and made an awqaf. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself made awqaf. And for generations and generations, these awqaf were serving the Muslim community. There were special awqaf, there were general waqfs that were set. There were special awqaf that were set, for example, to take care of the needs of widows. The widows didn't have to, for example, struggle to survive because now they lost the breadwinner in the family. So now they're struggling and battling just to make ends meet. And they have to go through so much of humiliation, so much of trying to get some bread on the table. It wasn't like that in the past. There was specialized awqaf for widows. Any widow was entitled to a certain stipend and allowance so that no widow could go hungry. No orphans could go hungry because the mother couldn't provide. There was no breadwinner in the house. And for that matter, there were awqaf for orphans. There were awqaf for the medically ill. We know today, Allah save us from disease, sickness and illness, generally, but more specifically because of the prohibitive cost today to get sick. If they say, if the sickness didn't kill you, the doctor's bill will definitely do that. The hospital bill is going to finish you. Exorbitant cost. Now those days, they had specialized awqaf for ill persons, sick people, specialized awqaf for disabled people, specialized awqaf for so many other categories. They even had specialized awqaf for non-married people couples who were intending to marry but didn't have sufficient money to set up a basic home, to set up, to pay the meher, the basic, there was a specialized awqaf for that. There was a specialized awqaf for newly born children. If the parents couldn't afford clothing and things for them, there was a specialized awqaf for them. There was a specialized awqaf, milk, that used to be provided for those families who had little children to provide nourishment for them. We have it. Specialized awqaf even for animals, for the upkeep of, today we hear of SPCA. And these are people who are supposed to be looking after animal welfare. In the era of Islam, there were already awqaf and endowments set up for the welfare of animals, so that animals could be taken care of. So this is how advanced our civilizations were. But unfortunately, my dear friends, when selfishness set in, the love of the world set into the heart, and everybody was concerned about enriching himself and became apathetic and indifferent to the plight of others, then this is the state of affairs that we find in the Muslim world today. Nevertheless, the point I was trying to make, I used this example earlier on in my talk when I spoke about a non-Muslim who made such a big waqf and endowment of his wealth. Even now, within our community, there are many people who can and who have the capacity to do so. We don't have to do something on our own individually if we cannot afford it. Groups of people can, we have clubs for all kinds of things, cycling and jogging and, you know, all kinds of such other activities, fishing and golfing and whatever. So why can't we have little groups that for charitable work, for upliftment of mankind and humanity? And side by side with that article, another article caught my eye, and this article was about the extent of the inequalities that are growing in the world between the wealthy and the poor, between the rich and the poor. That gap is an alarming rate that every time we read this is even more shocking and horrifying. This recent, 2 days ago I think, that I read some article where it was stated that now a handful of people own so much of wealth in the world that it is much more than the combined wealth of the whole continent of Africa with so many dozen countries. And the rest of the billions of people in the world are living in absolute poverty, below the bread line. They say, I think it was $1 a day was supposed to be the bread line, which equates to about 12, 13, 14 rand or 15 rand per day. That is supposed to be the baseline. What can you buy today if you think about it? Just that much, they say, is supposed to be the bread line. And the gap is growing so big that there are billions below the bread line. There's so many statistics, my dear friends. These statistics will make our mind boggle. But there's no point just knowing statistics and going back to where we are. This question is supposed to galvanize us into action. It is supposed to get us going. It is supposed to get us moving. Leave all the other parts of the world. We know that this is a global phenomenon. Poverty is not something that is confined to a particular continent or part of the world. It is a global phenomenon. But let us just focus on our own country. Look at the street. Look at the pockets of poverty in our own country. Horrifying statistics. Recently I read something where they said that more than quarter of the population of South Africa, 25%, which translates to, you know, 10, 15 million people go to bed hungry every night because they have only one meal for the day. On our own doorstep, there are these pockets of... You look at the conditions in which people are living in the informal settlements. Look at the extent of malaria and other kind of sicknesses and disease that prevail that could easily be avoided, but because of the poverty cycle, all of these problems prevail on our doorstep. You look at the appalling conditions in which people on our doorstep, our neighborhood, are living in. It is heartbreaking to see people live in such, you know, squalid conditions. And this is right here on our doorstep. Leave the rest of the world. Just take on our own doorstep. This is the state of affairs. What is the solution? Of course, there can be a very long-term solution. And the long-term, the actual solution is the entire, overall of the entire economic system, this capitalistic economic system, or whether it is a socialistic economic system, these economic systems are orientated towards inequalities and imbalances, enriching the rich and making the poor poorer, making the rich richer. This is the outcome. And this is the result of these economic systems. The ultimate is to work towards an overall and a change of the complete economic system. The Islamic economic system is one in which inequalities are addressed and there isn't a gross ill distribution and imbalance in the distribution of wealth. There is equilibrium. The wealthy may be wealthy, but not to the extent that the wealth is, you know, to the extent that there is some kind of balance and equilibrium. But of course, that is not within the power of individuals or even communities in today's global world to change. It will require the combined effort of the entire Ummah, all the Muslim countries and all the economists of the Muslim world and all the financial brains and all of these people will have to pull together to bring about such a model. Models are there. They've already been worked out. A lot of work has happened in the recent decades on the subject of Islamic economics and Islamic finance, and Islamic finance has already made lots of global impacts. It is now recognized as a global phenomenon. The Pope spoke about the benefits of the Islamic financial system, and he remarked that it has the reducing poverty in the world. And such comments made by the Pope was something that was taken seriously by the countries of the world. But that is a long, slow process. In the meantime, we need to have a short-term action plan, and that is every individual and every group of people, organizations, or whether it is informal groups of people, work towards the eradication of poverty. Whatever we can do within our power, we reduce extravagance and wastage in our own community. I remember many of our pious elders used to make this call and cry over and over again. The late Maulana Umarji Rahmatullah Ali was one among such people. Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali, one amongst our pious elders who passed on. They used to emphasize very much wastage and extravagance that we have in many of our activities and our functions, and to direct that towards upliftment of the people around us. It doesn't cost a lot of money to give one family a home. those hundreds of thousands that are squandered and wasted in functions that last for a couple of hours and then it's over and done with, could have given a roof for a handful of families that would have lasted for generations and would be remembered. Not only that, but it would have generated goodwill for the Muslim community of this country. We know that there are forces at play to give the Muslims of this country a bad name. The media is not on our side. There's a lot of hostility on the side of the media. We find that there are unseen and hidden forces that are working to demonize and to diminish the image of the Muslim community, fusions of this community. With these kind of circumstances prevailing, we have to work even harder to enhance and bolster our image so that we are seen in a positive light. And all these acts that we will do, inshallah, not only is it going to secure a good, safe environment for us in this country, but inshallah for our generations to come. Zuckerberg wrote in his Facebook, he said to her that these charities and contributions I am giving in order to make this world a better place for you to live in. Our contributions, inshallah, will make this country a better place for our children to live in. And that is this life of this world, the benefits. What about the benefits of the akhirah? Everything that is given here, every cent that is, it is multiplied 10 times by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. 10 times is the minimum reward. And beyond that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the reward for whomsoever he wants. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ أَنْبَتٍ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the example of that person who gives in the path of Allah, example is like that of one seed that was planted, and from that it became 700, and وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, and Allah will multiply for whomsoever he wants. So that amount of 700 is just an idea of the kind of returns Allah is giving. We can say that the returns with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 700% as a start. وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can multiply whosoever he wishes and desires. So that is the reward of the hereafter. But right in this world we will see the benefit of it. Especially in this province of ours, KZN, we know for a fact, my dear friend, that there has been a lot of negative impressions of the Muslims. Negative comments and statements have been made. There is a kind of an undercurrent of negativity towards the Muslim community, towards the Indian community. Let us not act ostrich and pretend that there isn't a problem. By acting like there is no problem, then when we are confronted head on with the problem, we don't have a solution. Let us be proactive. Let us work and do what we have to. Every community can play a part. Every masjid has a role to play. The musallis of every masjid can work and do, inshallah, in their own way. We can do wonders. Little maiden, we think that we have to do a lot before it becomes useful or beneficial. This is not true. Little that is done that contributes towards the big picture. They say, you know, Katra Katra Darya. There's a saying in Urdu that says that drop by drop becomes a sea. It takes a drop by drop that fills the bucket. If you think the bucket is just going to get filled one time, the bucket gets filled. Drop by drop, our contributions are going to make an impact, is going to have an effect. So my dear friends, this is a message that I want to convey. They are the listeners of Radio Islam that are listening to this message, and to our community as a whole, that let us take this message seriously. Let us all start working, and let us show that we are citizens of this country who are caring, who are willing, who are caring who are willing to, people who want to play a positive part, people who want to make a contribution. We are not here only just to enrich ourselves and to live a good life, but we are here to uplift the people around us. We want the welfare and the goodness of the entire community around us. We help people irrespective of race, religion, and creed, and color. We are to reach out to one and all. We have been given ample opportunities in this world which many other communities don't have. In this way, we can make our mark. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا فتخير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أعيرون إلى الإبل فخلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذب الله العذاب الأكبر إنا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو وأتوب إليه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم فرج هم المهمومين ونفذ كرب المكروبين واقض الدين عن المدينين واشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين شفاء كاملا عاجلا مستمرا دائما يا كريم. وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وانثانا. اللهم من احييته منا فاحيه على الاسلام، ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الايمان. اللهم اسقنا اللهم اغثنا اللهم اغثنا اللهم اسقنا غيثا مغيثا هنيئا مريئا مريئا نافعا غير ضار عاجلا غير عاجل. اللهم اسقنا الغيث ولا تجعلنا من القانطين. اللهم انشر رحمتك علينا. قال الله تعالى في شأن حبيبه: ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.